Many Christians have lived in poverty, listen to me, because they were taught that tithes and offerings is in the Old Testament and not in the New. If you want to be blessed, you have to know these messages on tithes and offerings. I preached 2 weeks ago on this subject, and I didn't cover about one-fourth of the material that God has given me on it. And there's so many great things here and great promises and blessings. We need to know what they are. If we want to have a fantastic, prosperous 2025, it's not all up to God. I said, it's not all up to God. Part of it is us doing what God tells us to do with the money we have so He can bless us. Part of it is praying and fasting until we hear what God wants us to do at our current job, our new business. And when we hear and obey and do what He's told us to do with the money we already have, He has guaranteed that open the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing. And Jesus said, "Given shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shed together, and running over shall men give into your bosoms." I didn't say that. Jesus said it. Doesn't matter what some theologian says or some preacher says. It matters what Jesus said. And He said He would bless you. And the Word of God says He blesses the giver. God wants to bless us financially, but we must meet the condition. We can allow the devil to deceive us, but being deceived is no excuse, because the Bible says, "Do not be deceived." Paul says the Lord commanded that the gospel be supported in the same way as the Old Testament. In 1 Corinthians 9:13, don't you know, and this is a little review from 2 weeks ago, don't you know that those who work in the temple get their food from the temple? That's the Levites. When they went into the promised land, God says, "I'm going to give 11 tribes property, and they will be very productive. And they will tithe 10% of everything they produce to the Levites," because the Levites are called to be full-time ministers of the gospel, and the tithe is to support them. People say, "Do we have Levites today?" We sure do. Anyone who's called a full-time ministry is the same thing as a Levite. Can you say amen? Because how are they going to live? And the Word of God says, in the same way that the Levites lived under the Old Testament law, that's the same way the New Testament church is to be financed today. And you say, "Oh, I don't believe that." Well, then what plan do you have to finance this church? If the tithing offering is not it, do you have a better plan? I have a better plan. Everybody give 50%. How's that sound? Why don't we charge a fee to come in the church? You know, $200 to get in the door. Why don't we do that? Now, the best way is let people obey God with tithes and offerings. Amen. Amen. Don't you know that those who work in the temple get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar, sharing what is offered on the altar? That's one of the job of the Levites, was to do all those animal sacrifices. I mean, they sacrificed thousands of animals. And have you ever wondered where the meat went? They burned the fat, used the blood to sprinkle to cover their sins. What happened to the beef? What happened to the meat? The Levites got it. Those who were taking care of the temple got the meat. Amen. The men, and that's what it says right here. Don't you know? This is St. Paul. Don't you know that those who work in the temple get their food from the temple? And those who serve at the altar share in what is offered at the altar? Twice, Paul says he's a priest. He evidently was of the Levites. Levite, I don't know all. I needed to do more study on that, but he called himself a priest. He had to be a Levite if he's a priest. And so he knew how this worked. And those who serve at the altar share in what is offered on the altar. The ministers in the temple receive their income from tithes and offerings. That's the way they lived. In the same way, the Lord has commanded, verse 14, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. You say, well, did Jesus really command that? It's not recorded in the gospels, but St. Paul says He said it. I mean, know that everything Jesus said is said and done is not recorded. I think it's in John, He says, if everything Jesus did was recorded, there wouldn't be enough books to contain it. And especially if you put all of his teachings in it, it would really take a pretty good big encyclopedia, you know, to contain everything he did and said. This is not recorded in the Gospels, but Paul says he said it. So everything Jesus said is not necessarily recorded in the Gospels. In Acts 20, verse 35, as I read last time, 2 weeks ago, Paul says there, "Remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" See, this is not the Gospels either, but everybody quotes it all the time. It's more blessed to give than to receive. The only problem is most people don't know what that means. It's more blessed to give than to receive because God blesses the giver. It's that simple. Matthew 23:23. Let's see what Jesus says here. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin." What's that? They tithed even on the herbs. Herbs, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. This one goes to God. They tithed on their herbs. And mint, dill, and cumin. "And have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others." You should have done the things that God requires of you, justice, mercy, and faithfulness, and also give the tithe. Jesus said you should have kept justice, mercy, and faithfulness without neglecting tithing. Right there, he puts his approval on tithing. The whole tithing is not in the New Testament. It's because they've been convinced by the devil they're going to lose something if they give something away. And the way the gospel works, you receive by giving everything. It says, "Pray for one for another that you may be healed." We pray for people. Don't just stand there and meditate on something that doesn't apply to anything in his service. Pray for one another, and then you'll get healed. That's what he says. And when I'm having problems, I try to pray for everybody else. So, if I call and I'm praying for you, it's because I need a miracle. Yeah, that's not true. But I do remember that if I expect to get healed, I need to be praying for other people to be healed. You see, Jesus places his approval on tithes and offerings right here. He says, "You tithe on the smallest things and neglect justice, mercy, and faithfulness." You should not have neglected those things, and you should not neglect the tithing either. So, according to Paul, Jesus commanded us to give tithes and offerings the same way the children of Israel did to the Levites. I believe God wants to bless every person in this church the way he's blessed me and Dottie. Why would he just pick us out and favor us? And we've been blessed our whole lives. And we came here, we had absolutely nothing, no way to make a living. And we have never missed a meal. We've always been blessed. We were able to put our kids in a private school, And God has just blessed us coming and going. And the great miracle not too long ago, God gave us a house that's appraised today, close to $1.5 million. He said, "What are you going to do with that one of these days? If I don't die first, we're going to sell it and use it for retirement." But I really don't think that's ever going to happen. I think this is a life sentence. just hang in here and keep going. And people say, "Well, when are you going to retire?" Well, I just figured out what I'm doing last week. It's not the time to retire. So... I believe God wants to bless everybody the same way. He may not give you a house, but he's got blessings that you never even thought of. We didn't even want another house. But we all must obey God with the money we have. My mother taught me to tithe when I was about 5 years old. So I've tithed just about my whole life. Well, I guess I hope my whole life. And so I'm telling you, it works. There's a reason we're blessed. And there's a reason some people in this church are really blessed. And it's more than one reason, but giving and tithes and offerings is one of them. Another one is fasting and praying. Do you know what you're supposed to do? Amen. Now, I don't have time to preach all my messages, but that's a little hint right there. You need to do the word. Be a doer of the word when you're giving, when you're praying, when you're fasting, when you go to church. So my mother taught me to tithe, and she held up a dime. She said, you're supposed to tithe, give one-tenth of everything God gives you. He says if it's a dime, you give a penny. I remember that like it was yesterday. But I did not know anything about giving above the tithe. And in my last year in seminary, the Lord told me to give $100 to a certain ministry. And he promised me I would never have financial needs if I would do it. I thought he meant if I gave that $100, I'd never have any more financial problems. That wasn't what he meant. He meant I would be blessed if I became a generous giver, not just a one-time event. For the first time in 7 years, I was running out of money. I had worked my way through 4 years of college and almost 3 years of seminary, and paid every dime. When I graduated, I didn't owe one dime to anybody. God helped me do that. He gave me a good job. People say, well, I can't afford to go to college. If God wants you to go to college, he'll take care of it. Now, he may take the easy route and give you scholarships. He made me work. But I always had a job when no one else could get a job. But as a hard worker, so I earned my keep. I was running out of money, though, and I had $100 in the bank, and buddy, that was all the money I had. And I was living in a dorm room. I had to have food. I had to have stuff for my classes. I needed that $100, and I needed a whole lot more. And God says, I want you to give that $100, and so we're told, you know, to test the Lord, try the Lord. And so I decided to test the Lord. I just drug my feet for a little while and would not mail that check. And finally it got to the point I was either going to have to spend it or obey God. And I was getting in real trouble. And so I thought, what I got to lose? So I mailed the $100 check away. I drove by Evangel Tabernacle where I was working part-time. Pastor was there, and he called me in the office, and he said, Barry, do you need more money? The church knew what I was worth, so they spent me $50 a week. But he said, I'm going to double your pay today. That was $50 a week. And back then, that was enough for me to stay in school and finish that year. What would have happened if I had kept that $100? Obey God. Now, no one twisted my arm and said, oh, you got to give, you got to give. I don't let people twist my arm. I don't care who they are. They stand on the side of the road with this sign, I'm starving to death. If God tells me to give, I do, and if he don't, I don't give. Amen. Why? Because all the money belongs to him. Amen. And I don't want to waste it or throw it away. Somebody say amen. Amen. But if God tells me to give it, I'm going to give it. And Lord, help me to always do that, because if I don't, I'll cut off the blessings. The Lord taught me how to be blessed, tithes and offerings. Oh, you give 10% and you obey God when it comes to offerings. You don't let people twist your arm. You do what God tells you to do in your heart. I've never preached anything different than that, and that's what I preach. I don't twist arms. I do present a need. The church board presents a need, but if you give or not, it's your business. You see, we must obey God in all of our giving, tithes, offerings, alms, helping needy people. Matthew 6:3, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. All that means is do not give to be seen of men. Do not give so people can brag on you and say, oh, what a wonderful giver. You see, giving to the needy people is called alms. Verse 4, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, what does that say? It says if you're generous to help other people, God will reward you. Why do we have such a hard time believing that? It's just another promise. But if I want that reward, I want to be blessed, I need to obey God in helping people. The Father will reward those who give to the needy person, to the needy missionary, to the needy church, to the needy evangelist. And he rewards those who give tithes and offerings. You see, we must obey God in all of our giving if we want to have the testimony that a lot of people here have. Malachi 3:8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, how have we robbed you? And he says, in tithes and offerings. In tithes and offerings. God expects tithes and offerings. Some people can't even get a, they won't even give a tithe, let alone an offering. And sometimes you take a special offering, they'll give part of the tithe to that special offering. Well, you need to give the tithe to God and then a special offering if you want to be blessed. There's no skin off my nose because I'm not going to quit giving. I'm not going to quit tithing. I'm just trying to help you. I know some people say, well, the preacher, all he wants is my money. All he wants is my money. Well, if the preacher wants your money and he's using it for God, that's not a bad thing. But I don't want your money. I want to help you get blessed. I mean, God brought men out of here, took care of us, and in the very beginning didn't have any people. If he can take care of us without people, he can take care of us with people. We don't have to worry about it. God wants us to recognize that all of our money is his. All the money is his anyway. Well, this is my money. Just die and see how much you take with you. It's not your money. It belongs to God. You're going to leave it all behind. And some of you guys, you work so hard, laying up all this money. You know, I'm going to have this giant bank account and all these great things laid up. And then you have a heart attack and die, and your wife marries some loser, and he spends all your money. But if you laid it up in heaven, you'd still have it. Amen. Lay up your treasure in heaven. We cannot throw out tithes and offerings because it's taught in the Old Testament. Well, it's in the Old Testament. I don't have to do it. Boy, that is just a real trick of the devil. Let me try to show you why that's wrong. And you want to know the truth. Amen. See, this is a preacher that tries to explain things and show you what the Bible says and not just gets up and say it. And I know, help train you that way. If you're going to preach it, it better be in the Bible. So let's go. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. What is it talking about, all Scripture there? All they had is the Old Testament. Of course, today it would apply to old and new. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, Old Testament Scripture, and is profitable for doctrine. It says the Old Testament is profitable for teaching on tithing and everything else. The Ten Commandments. All those things are still for us today. But we don't keep the legalism of the law because it's fulfilled in Christ. We don't have to do animal sacrifices and all the feasts and all the things they had to do. And you don't have to be circumcised and all those things. But all the promises and the benefits of the Old Testament is for us today. Profitable for teaching, especially on tithing in our case today, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Just listen. I'm right as always, but you got to listen, though, before you know it. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, equipped, what it means, equipped unto all good works. If you're going to be totally equipped to all good works, you got to study the Old Testament and be a doer of the Old Testament. Not the legalism part. You don't have to do animal sacrifices. We've had Messianic Jews here. We had a Messianic Jewish church that met back in Children's Church for about 13 years. And some of them got a little pride and arrogant. Well, I keep the law. You know, implying they're better than us. Well, I got news for them. They're not keeping the law unless they're doing animal sacrifices. So they're not keeping the law. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, equipped into all good works. We no longer live by the old covenant with all this legalism, but the Old Testament contains more than the old covenant. It contains truth and examples and testimonies and promises that's for all of God's spiritual Jews. You're born again, the Bible calls you a spiritual Jew. I don't have time to stop and prove that, but I've proved it in the past. And for example, we claim Psalm 23. You want to get rid of that? The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not lack. He maketh me lie down in green pasture, leadeth me by the side of still waters, restoreth my soul. You want to get rid of that? And what about Psalm 91? He that dwells in a secret place shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I say, the Lord is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Goes on to say, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways and bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against them. You don't get rid of that? And what about Deuteronomy 28? If you obey my voice, these blessings will come on thee and overtake thee. Blessed shall be in the city. See, all of that is for us. And when God promises the blessed tither, that's for us. And I know some preachers preach incorrectly, but you got a preacher that preaches the Word of God, and therefore it is correct. All of God's promises in the Old and New Testament are for all of us today. By His Word, including the Old Testament, we are equipped for every good work. One of my favorite verses is, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Wow. And one of the greatest examples, greatest testimonies in the Bible is little David going against Goliath with a rock. I mean, that's an example of how we defeat Satan. David didn't run from Goliath. He picked up five rocks, took his sling, and charged the guy. He didn't run from him. And that's the same way you defeat the devil. You know, oh, I'm getting sick. Oh, I got this problem. So-and-so don't like me. Who cares? I'm not running from the devil. I'm going after him. Yay. And so, the Old Testament is a gift from God. You just have to know that Jesus Christ fulfilled the legalism of the law when he died on that cross. He became your sacrifice. The only shed blood you need is his shed blood. You don't need to shed the blood of animals. Amen. In Romans 15:4, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning. The Old Testament was written for learning about miracles and faith and tithing and many other things. So it was written for our learning. The Old Testament. 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. The New Testament says the Old Testament was written for our learning and instruction. You don't throw it away. Learning about tithes and offerings as it applies today to this message. So there is a lot of confusion about where tithes is to be given. And I've heard it said, well, we tithe wherever we're fed. I think by now you know, especially from 2 weeks ago, no, that's not true. We tithe where the Levites are fed. We tithe to the house of God so those who work full-time in the ministry can have their needs met, and so the ministry can have the needs met that it has. 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verse 1. How many want to know what the Bible says? Are you kind of tired of preachers getting up and telling you what the Bible says? I like to read it for you to hear it. Okay, I don't trust you to go home and read it yourself, so I'll read it for you. There it is. Can you read that? Okay. This is King Hezekiah. He ordered the people. He ordered the people living in Jerusalem to give the portion due the priest, and that would be the preachers, you know, and the Levites, the staff, those who were doing all the sacrifices and taking care of the ministry, and that included their singers. And in our case, includes the youth pastor and all those who are working full-time to take care of you and your children. So they could devote themselves to the law of the Lord. In other words, they had to stop taking care of the temple and go grow themselves a garden in order to have something to eat. You see, they did have a house with some property, but they didn't have a big farm or something so they could farm. But evidently had enough property so they could grow a garden. The people had stopped tithing in this case, and it hindered the priests and the Levites. They could no longer spend full time taking care of the house of God. Verse 9, Hezekiah asked the priests and the Levites about the heaps about the heaps. When they begin to bring in their tithes, they begin to put it in piles around the temple. And there's a big pile of squash and green beans and corn and probably and tomatoes. Probably not exactly that. But they brought in a tithe of all that they had produced. And so all kind of stuff. And probably more like figs and dates and pomegranates and, you know, grains and all that stuff. And Azariah, the chief priest, here's what he said. Since the people began to bring their contributions to the temple of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and plenty to spare. When people tithe, there's plenty of money to take care of the ministry. Amen. Well, I am tired of people always begging for money. If you tithe and give the way you're supposed to, people wouldn't need to beg for money. Amen. And I'm not saying that to this church. Y'all the best givers. I mean, my goodness, alive. We needed to raise money for this lights and to change from incandescent to LEDs. And you gave $135,000. I'm not preaching this at you. I'm preaching this to know that you deserve to. You have the right to believe God to bless you. Amen. That's why I'm preaching to you. And if somehow you haven't been tithing, you got scared and quit tithing like Agnes Ferdinand did years ago, you need to get back on it so God can get back to blessing you. And God says, try me, test me. And he doesn't mind you putting him to the test on this one. So try that tithing and giving. Since the people began to bring their contributions to the temple of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and plenty to spare. When the people started tithing, the church had more than enough. Now, where did they store the tithe? Well, bring you all the tithe in the storehouse. What that means is, if your grandma needs some money, well, then you send your tithe to her. Is that what it means? Or if evangelist comes through and he's got a sob story, you give your tithe to him? No. Here's where it went. Verse 11. How many like knowing what the Bible says? How many paying attention? All you folks watching my live stream and listening by radio, sometimes we have a bigger audience there than we do here. Are y'all listening? Okay. Look at this. Hezekiah gave orders to prepare storerooms in the temple of the Lord, and this was done. There had been storerooms there before, but they quit tithing, so they cleaned them out and started putting other stuff in. So Hezekiah says, you get that stuff out of there, clean those out, and put the tithe in there so the Levites can have something to eat and have their needs met. The storerooms were in the temple. The temple is called the storehouse because that is where the tithe was stored. Bring you all the tithe in the storehouse. In other words, you bring your tithe into the place of ministry. You bring your tithe into the church. You bring your tithe. What we have here is a general fund, and tithes goes into the general fund, and that's where the salaries are paid from and other special needs for the ministry. And when they would bring in their tithe, a lot of times they'd have a big feast, and everybody got to eat part of that food that was provided. And so it's okay for the church to take some of the tithe money and have a big Thanksgiving dinner. Amen. For everybody, somebody say amen. Amen. That's all scriptural. We try to do everything by the book, the Bible. And it works. People say, well, the Bible's outdated, it's irrelevant. You've been lied to. It's just as relevant today as it's ever been. I've been living my life by it all these years, close to 100 years. It's worked all the way. And I'm blessed. Verse 12. And everybody here knows that Don and I have tried to be the biggest givers of the church. We have a hard time, though, because when everybody starts getting blessed, they start competing with us. Verse 12, but if you want to know what happened to us when we tried to give everything away, God gave us a house worth enough money to retire on if we need to. And that's exactly where I see it. Dottie sees it as her dream house, but I see it as my nest egg. which I don't need, because God's going to take care of me with or without the house. I need it if he wants me to have it. But I think probably he meant for Dottie to have that house anyway. Then they faithfully brought in the contributions. Then when they got the storerooms all cleaned out, then they faithfully brought in the contributions, tithes, and even dedicated gifts, things above their tithes to put in that storeroom. And then look at this. Conaniah, a Levite, was in charge of these things, and his brother Shimei was next in rank. How many like to have a church treasurer named Shimei? You see, the tithe was placed in the storerooms in the storehouse, which was the temple, in our case, the church. Then it was distributed by the Levites for them to inherit. For some of the Levites, dedicated gifts, and Conaniah, a Levite, was in charge of these things, and his brother Shimei was next in rank. And when the Levites needed food, clothes, whatever, they came, and it was provided out of the temple, the storerooms in the temple. You see why Malachi says, bring you all the tithe in the storehouse? Now, Nehemiah, the same thing in verse 13, verse 10. I also learned that the portions assigned to the Levites had not been given to them, and that all the Levites and singers responsible for their service, see, they had singers from the Levites, and they were financed so they could be full-time singers in this situation. The Levites and singers responsible for the service had gone back to their own fields. They'd gone back to growing their own gardens because they didn't have any tomatoes in the storehouse. No corn, no vegetables, no nothing. So they had to go to work and neglect God's house. Verse 11, so I rebuked the officials and asked them, why is the house of God neglected? So how did they neglect God's house? By keeping the tithe. Verse 12, remember the Levites, the money went to take care of, they were full-time. That was their full-time job. I mean, just because somebody does certain things in the church, sing a solo or something, they don't get the tithe. It has to be a full-time ministry. Verse 12, all Judah brought the tithes of grain. Now, if you have a special singer, you can take an offering. Amen. But they don't get the tithe because they're not Levites. They're not full-time in the ministry for that church. All Judah brought the tithes of grain, new wine, and oil into the storerooms. Where does the tithe go? Into the storerooms in the storehouse. I put Shelemiah the priest, Zadok the scribe, and a Levite named Padiah in charge of the storeroom. So we have the same thing going on here, you know, with Nehemiah you had before, back there in Chronicles, or where, yeah, Second Chronicles. So they were made responsible for distributing the supplies in the storerooms. It actually says they were made responsible for distributing the supplies to their brothers. Spells it out. The tithe went to the storerooms in the temple and was distributed as needed. You see, this is why Malachi says, I think I read this last week, but this makes it makes more sense now. Malachi 3:10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Food for who? For the ministers, the full-time employees of the church. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Bring the tithe into the storehouse. You don't mail it off to grandma. That $100 I mailed off was not my tithe. It was the money I need to stay in school for another couple of weeks. The storehouse was in the temple, or in the church in our case, that contained the storerooms. God's plan to finance the New Testament church is the same way he had to finance the Old Testament church, the Old Testament temple, the Levites. You see, there would not be a church here today without tithes and offerings. And we know that's true. And it's not fair for a few people to do all the tithing and the giving. But they do get the blessing. They get the blessing. Tithes and offerings is God's only plan to finance the modern church. There is no other plan. If you've got another plan, like I said, let's hear it. I guess, as I said earlier, we could start charging $200, $300 for people to come through the door. How many think it's better just to let people obey God with 10% and offerings? Acts, the bills have to be paid some way. Our utility bill here averaged close to $6,000 a month. This is a big place. It takes a lot of heat and air. And this is a red hot church, so it takes a lot of cooling to cool it down. We have to, this is such a hot church, we have to run air conditioning in the winter. And that is sort of true. If you got a lot of bodies, it puts out a lot of heat, and so we do have to sometimes run the air conditioning in the wintertime. Acts chapter 20, verse 35, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Why is it more blessed to give than to receive? Because God blesses the giver. God, and Jesus said, given shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom, bless all stand.